This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
We will call the Public Utilities Commission meeting to order September 26, 1:30 in the afternoon. This is Chairman Nelson. I have Commissioner Hansen with me in the hearing room, and Commissioner Fegan is on the phone line. Do we have a motion regarding the minutes from October 5th and October 11th? I will move to approve the minutes from October 5th and October 11th. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Consumer reports, Deb Gregg.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. The commission received a total of 44 contacts since the last report was prepared for the October 11th, 2016 commission meeting. Seven of the contacts involved telecommunication service. 11 of the contacts involved electric service. Two contacts related to natural gas service. Two contacts related to wireless service. Five contacts related to the Do Not Call Registry, two contacts related to wind energy, one contact was related to the TransCanada pipeline, three calls related to one call, and 11 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. We still have two open complaints in 2014, and 1,178 of the 1,198 complaints received in 2016 have been resolved.
Thank you. Questions? Hearing none. Thanks, Deb. Caitlin, are we okay?
We're okay.
Okay. We'll take the agenda in order today. EL 16-021 in the matter of the complaint by Jewel Energy, Inc. against Northwestern Corporation doing business as Northwestern Energy for establishing a purchase power agreement. The question, shall the commission give the executive director authority to enter into a consulting contract not to exceed $38,000? And I'm going to go to staff first.
Thank you, Chairman. This is John Thurber on behalf of Commission staff. We would request that the Commission give the Executive Director authority to enter into a consulting contract to assist us in reviewing the modeling and the assumptions used in the avoided cost methodology. Just so you're aware, this is not a docket that has a filing fee, so we will do our best to limit the amount of expenses in this docket. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Brogan.
Northwestern supports staff's request.
Thank you. I don't see anybody on the line or in the audience representing Jewel. Am I correct? If not, questions from the commission. Hearing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in EL 16-021, move that the commission give the executive director authority to enter into a consulting contract not to exceed $38,000.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. We will move to EL 16-030 in the matter of the petition of Otter Tail Power Company for approval of the environmental cost recovery rider charge. And the question is, shall the commission approve that charge and associated tariff revisions with an effective date of November 1st, 2016? And with that, we will go to Otter Tail.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. Pete Bison with Otter Tail Power. Otter Tail agrees with staff's recommendation on this matter.
And staff.
Thank you. This is Eric Paulson for staff. Staff filed its memo last week and will rely on that. Staff recommends approval of the revised ECR rate with an effective date of November 1st, 2016.
Thank you. Questions from the commission?
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
I just have a quick question on your customer notice, and I think I probably looked at it more this time than last time because this was an easier filing this time for us because we've seen it before. But on your customer notice, it doesn't say that it was a federal requirement to update Big Stone and certainly update the Hooter Lake. Is there any reason why we let the federal government out of being recognized of being the drivers of this cost?
The There's no reason that we would have left them off because they clearly are the drivers of those costs.
Is there any way that you could amend it? Because it nearly looks like the South Dakota Department of Environmental and Natural Resources is the driver, and I understand they had to approve it, and they actually had to adopt it, and then EPA had to approve their approval, but is there any way we could reword it a little bit so customers realize this is a federal requirement?
Chair Nelson, Commissioner Feagin, I think we can get that accomplished. It's a little short before the implementation next week, but I think we can still get that amended.
So it looks like you could just even say installed a federal government requirement, or I mean,
right.
It would just have to be about two words or something.
Do you like us to run that past staff prior to? We can do something probably yet late today.
Mr. Thurber, were you the leader?
This is Eric Paulson. It was me and Joe were the analysts on
okay.
the docket.
That's right. Anyway, whatever our staff think, yes, I would support that.
Okay, yeah, we appreciate it. Otter Tail appreciate that, Commissioner Feagin.
We can look at something today if Otter Tail wants to shoot us a
great
revision.
Thank you.
Excellent. I appreciate your bringing that to our attention. That should be a pretty simple fix. Additional questions? Motions? I will move an EL 16-030 that the Commission approve Otter Tail Power Company's revised environmental cost recovery rider charge and associated tariff revisions with an effective date of November 1st, 2016. Discussion on the motion. This was a very easy to understand docket. Excellent work on the memo and the filing. Obviously, the charge is going to be going down because we've got some more accurate numbers, and costs have simply gone down. So we appreciate both of those. Additional discussion.
And, Mr. Chairman, I certainly appreciate Otter Tail looking into the double appreciation and taking advantage of that for our ratepayers. So all of that, along with what Commissioner Nelson has said, is appreciated.
Additional discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. TC 16-005, in the matter of the application of Mobility Management LLC for a certificate of authority to provide local exchange services in South Dakota. And the question is, shall we approve the certificate and the requested waiver? And we will go to Mr. Donahue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mobility Management, through its application and supplemental information, has demonstrated that it meets the qualifications for issuance of a certificate and request that the Commission grant the certificate as requested to provide local exchange services in South Dakota and the requested waiver.
And staff.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. This is Lorena Reichert of staff. Mobility Management LLC is applying for a certificate of authority to provide local exchange services in order to provide transport, backhaul, and broadband data and voice services, as well as infrastructure for other carriers, emergency responders, public safety agencies, and backhaul providers. Staff has carefully reviewed the filing, and the company has responded to all of staff's data requests. Staff recommends approval of granting the certificate of authority to provide local exchange services with the restriction that Mobility Management LLC not offer any prepaid services, including prepaid calling cards, and does not accept or require any deposits or advance payments for retail purposes without prior approval of the Commission. Staff also recommends approving the waiver.
Thank you. Questions from the Commission. I'm going to start with a question for Mr. Donahue. Can you just give me a little better understanding of exactly what kind of services you're going to be offering and who your customers are?
Sure. The company Mobility Management provides what's called a hybrid transport network that consists of transport and backhaul systems that include microwave or wireless links as well as fiber and other facilities to essentially facilitate the connectivity of wireless devices, Internet of Things devices, different more and more devices these days are trying to connect to the network. And so the services that Mobility will deploy will help facilitate the expansion of data connectivity to any number of customers, primarily initially other carriers and enterprise customers in the state.
So do you also provide the radios that ultimately connect with a consumer's either wireless or Internet of Things device?
Not necessarily. Mobility primarily deploys the underlying infrastructure. And you can think of it almost as it's the pipe for the service, and then its customers would put their equipment on Mobility's infrastructure or connect to Mobility's infrastructure, and through that equipment be able to access the transport network or the services. The company may provide some equipment, but it's also making its facilities available. It's a neutral host provider, so it's making its facilities available to other companies to deploy their equipment as well.
So far as the company provided equipment, I mean, I take it from your answer that that may happen in some circumstances, but that's not your prime market. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Thank you. That is very helpful. Additional questions? I have one, maybe for Lorena. The requested waiver, 2010-3210, has five subparts. The first subpart is access to the PS public switch network. Do they really want a waiver to that, or isn't that part of what they're actually doing? Mr. Donahue, you can weigh in on that, too, if you've got a thought. Or are you only dealing with data?
I think it's data. I think the waiver request is mostly addressed to, given the nature of its services, it would not be providing things like directory assistance or telecommunications relay services or 911. But it will be, you know, the services will connect to a public network, either the internet or the public PSTN, that sort of thing. But we wouldn't want to waive the need to connect to that.
Okay, and that was kind of my presumption. So I'm wondering if we want to waive the entire rule or just subparts 2 through 5. Lorena?
When I had looked at the waiver, I had assumed that there were parts of that law that they were looking at waiving, not necessarily all of them.
Okay. Additional questions? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in docket TC-16-005, I move that the Commission grant Mobilite Management's request for a certificate of authority to provide local exchange services in South Dakota with requested waivers, providing Mobility complies with staff's recommendations.
And with that, so far as the waivers take into account the discussion that Lorena and I just had about exempting from the waiver subpart 1.
Well, I would have a question on that if that is the desire of Mobility.
Mr. Donahue, are you okay with us exempting out in subpart 1 of that rule?
Yes.
Thank you.
Then my motion includes that.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Donahue. Appreciate your being on the line today.
Thank you for the time. Appreciate it.
T-16-006. TC 16-052 in the matter of the application of GoDaddy.com LLC for a certificate of authority to provide inter-exchange long-distance services in South Dakota, and we will go to GoDaddy.
Good afternoon, Chairman Nelson. This is Kevin Burr with QTAC Rock LLP. I'm South Dakota Counsel for GoDaddy.com. Appearing with me today is Jennifer Costew. She's with Wilkinson, Bauer, Barker, and Naur in Washington, D.C. She's GoDaddy's federal counsel. We believe GoDaddy has demonstrated that it has the financial, technical, and managerial resources to provide resold inter-exchange services in South Dakota, and that it will comply with all South Dakota statutes and regulations. So we would ask for the Commission's approval.
Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pat Stephenson of staff. On August 15, 2016, GoDaddy.com LLC filed an application for a certificate of authority to provide resold inter-exchange service in accordance with the Commission's administrative rules. On October 12, 2016, we received an indemnity bond in the amount of $25,000 to run in favor of South Dakota customers. As GoDaddy plans to collect advance payments for initiation fees and monthly recurring charges, staff recommends the Commission grant the certificate of authority to GoDaddy.com LLC, subject to the continuous $25,000 bond. Thank you.
Questions from the Commission? Hearing none, all those in, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in TC 16-052, move that the Commission grant GoDaddy request for a certificate of authority to provide inter-exchange services in South Dakota and to make sure that the bond continues at the request of the staff.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. TC 16-057, in the matter of the application of a Lifeline link-up and Tribal Lifeline Amendment to the Interconnection Agreement between Quest Corporation, doing business as CenturyLink, and Eventus Telecom, doing business as Consolidated Communications. Mr. Topp.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. This is an interconnection agreement amendment designed to comply with FCC rulings, changing the availability of TAP for resale, and so we ask that this amendment be approved.
Staff.
Mr. Chairman, this is Amanda Reese for staff. The agreement seems to be properly filed, properly executed, and does not appear to contain discriminatory provisions. No comments were filed, and staff recommends approval.
Questions from the Commission? Motions? I will move in TC 16-057 that the Commission approve the amendment to the interconnection agreement. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. TC 16-058, in the matter of the filing by MCI Metro Access Transmission Services Corp. doing business as Verizon Access Transmission Services for approval of its access service tariff number 2. I don't see anybody from the company on the line, so we'll go to staff.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. This is Joe Rizek with staff. Staff has reviewed the filing and would recommend approval of the proposed tariff revisions with an effective date of November 1st, 2016.
Questions? Motions.
Mr. Chairman, in TC 16-058, I move that the Commission approve the proposed tariff revisions.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Is there anything else for the good of the order? If not, the only announcement is the next regularly scheduled meeting will be Tuesday, November 8th, 9:30 a.m. right here. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. We are adjourned.